daughter, Rebecca, and her husband are getting a room and a half set up for us in their home, which is our old home, where we raised our family over on 52nd Street. The result being that we're going to have to change everything in terms of the ministry's address. If anybody wants to send anything to Moan Ministries, you'll have to do it to the P.O. Box.
Right.
And I'll give you that address. It's the P.O. Box 35063, Tulsa, Oklahoma, 74153. Everything will have to go.
Website.
Pardon me?
That should be on the website. If it's not now, it will be shortly.
Yeah. It is on the website. They took off our home address here. And we'll have a new address when we move in. We've had to change everything, all of our checks and everything, to get Barbara's name off and Matt's on. Well, you know all of that. But
yeah.
And but that P.O. Box is 35063, Tulsa, 74153. And appreciate the gifts that you all send. It's just, don't send them to this house anymore. Mm-hmm. But the P.O. Box. Secondly, they don't know just how long it's going to take to... They had a plumbing problem and their room flooded.
Oh,
so they've had to go put a whole new floor in where we will be going, Barbara and I.
And, yeah.
So we really thought, she said that. She said, well, Dad, what else can happen? And I said, honey, I'm not certain. But she and Brian are really excited about our coming. I'm excited to be back in that house.
Uh-huh.
We raised five children there, and my folks and my dad's cousin Clara, 16 years we had them, and probably a dozen to 15 young men and women. It was just great. Had our own little commune there, and it was marvelous. So I'll be back in that commune. We don't know when that will be. Here's the deal with Barbara. Some of you know it's about 3 weeks ago that she ended up counting the seizure she had at home with me, two more at St. Francis. And then last Friday night, Becky and I were getting her ready for bed. And Becky had begun to pick her up, and she yelled, Dad! And I ran into the bathroom, and Barbara had just kind of gone like that, straight up, her eyes back in her head and into a seizure. And was just shaking all over and the eyes back in the head. And we called AMSA, and her breath labored to about one every 5 to 7 seconds. And then we finally were able to get her down on the floor without her falling. And this whole shaking thing is rather new. And it cripples her. And so we got her over there on Friday night. And I was with her till about 2 in the morning, and there were just a lot of people in the emergency room at St. Francis.
Yeah.
And no doctor was able to see her. She was taken up into a room on the 33rd floor, the third floor, and they want to do an EEG and an MRI again, the same that they did before, to check and see. No doctor has seen them yet. And I talked to the head nurse yesterday when I went over to see Barb, and he told me that the doctors have just been overwhelmed with all that came in for the weekend, and that they hope that by today and no later than tomorrow that those tests will be done and they'll be able to evaluate just where she is. My concern, and this is something that I don't know how to explain any better than this, is that I was really discouraged the last time I'd seen her on Sunday. Today is what? Tuesday, thank you.
Tuesday.
On Sunday, because she just didn't seem to be there at all and seemed to be in such pain. And when I would come into the room, it would just sort of cause her to just kind of get excited and not know why and try to get out of bed. And she's got a foot that could be broken. And so they ended up putting, I don't know what they call them, Al, Sue, you guys, you know what they call these garments they put on them that hold them in the bed from the back?
Yeah, it's a restraining jacket.
Thank you. That's my restraining jacket. And when I went in, she was just not there at all. And I was I was very kind of disappointed and prayed with her. And then last night I went back and had quite a talk with the head nurse over there, a real strong believer. And we prayed together and he shared with me all that's going on. And I sat down with Barbara and her whole demeanor was different. Now, she was still in some dementia, but I would start to pray for her and she would kind of cock her head like that. And then I began to sing in the spirit and she would just sit there and smile. Mm-hmm. And then I would stop and then she would kind of start talking to the sheets again or her toes or the food on the trail. But it was a whole different demeanor. And it made me hopeful that we'll be able to get her back and take care of her in the home and not have to put her in a home.
Yeah.
Because that just, I don't want to do. We'd rather take her with us, of course, over to Brian and Becky's and move in there. They think it'll be almost a month before we can get our house sold, everything moved over there.
Yeah.
And so in the interim, just keep Barbara and I in prayer. It's a daily deal. When I'm with the kids, they accuse me, you know, that I don't like being alone. And I said, you're absolutely right. The thought of being alone is just very difficult for me. But I'm working that through. And God is really reemphasized, it's always now. God's always now. Don't plan for tomorrow. Live fully and completely in today.
Yeah.
And that's what we're trying to do, is live fully and completely in today. And when I see Barbara this morning, I'm going to be encouraged. I believe that the nurse and said he had seen people like this before and said, don't be too put off by the perceived dementia. Much of that could very well and easily return.
Yeah.
And that's a prayer. So that in that case, we could move her over to Brian and Becky's when we finally move. Lastly, if anybody wants any books that I've had, let me know. I've got shelves and shelves full of books. They're free. There's no charge. I've got them all behind me and everywhere. And I'm just not going to move them over. So if you have any that, just let me know. Send me an email with the copies and I'll try to set them aside. Let's see. That's all my notes. Except again to thank Al who got back from Texas
last night.
God bless Texas. But thanks again, Al, for being there and picking up the slack when I leave. I have any questions, I'll try to answer before I check off and head over to the hospital.
For Tom and for Ben and for Barbara.
Yes, Lord.
We thank you for all their ministry has contributed to so many people, Lord. And now they need your help desperately.
Yes.
And you are the God of all healing.
Yes.
And so we're coming to you and asking you to heal Barbara.
Yes, Lord.
To give her what she needs, Lord. I think so often in the Bible as you heal people, you prayed. And you told us to pray. And we saw the works that you did. And we're to do those works as disciples. Mm. We're to do those works as you did. And so increase our faith. I wondered why the disciples asked for you to increase their faith. And because it's faith that does it. It's the belief in you that as we pray and as we believe, things will happen. And Lord, we want to see those things happen now in Barbara's behalf. So Father, would you please touch her and heal her and clear her mind and her body and strengthen her in every dimension. She has faith, we have faith, and all together, Lord, we're asking you to do this wondrous work. So do increase our faith too, Lord, and let us be the true disciples. We're doing everything you said we should do as disciples. We're reading your word, we're studying your word, we're believing your word, we're coming to you, we're asking for your deliverance. And so, Father, we wait on you. And as they said in the Bible, I don't know who it was that asked to increase their faith. Increase our faith. Let us begin to be true disciples, that as we pray, things happen.
Things happen.
We want to see those wondrous works happen. We want your life manifested in us. We want the proof, Lord, that we are your disciples. as we pray and ask these things in your name.
Yes, Lord.
So please, come alive in us. You are alive in us. But
yes.
Lead us and guide us and direct us and help our faith to become strong and real and true and active.
Yes.
And answered. So Lord, in these next days, as we all pray faithfully, as we're all in agreement for Barbara's healing, for Tom's strengthening, for his healing, Lord, for his back, everything
yes.
they need to continue the ministry that you've given to them, to both of them, Lord, as you've given them this ministry, help us to just believe you now, and we do believe you, and we're asking in faith that you do wondrous works in Barbara's life and wondrous works in Tom's life. So bless them now as they are ready to do this move. Give them everything they need to make this move. Give them hope and give them joy that you're moving them into a new dimension, Lord, to serve you. So I ask for a long life for both of them, Lord. That
yes.
you would strengthen them, that you would touch them, that you would heal them, that you would even give their ministry new revival, new reality, new answers to all these prayers. So thank you for who you are, Lord. We believe in you and only you. Only you can do these wondrous works. So just increase our faith, Lord. Let us remember all the things you said in the Bible and let us believe them. Let us hold fast to them that all these things will be realized. So we tell you that we love you, Lord. We just appreciate Tom's teaching us and we appreciate all your works in our individual lives. So we just thank you, Lord. We thank you from the bottom of our hearts. And we just ask now that as we begin a new year shortly, Lord, that our lives would be effectual, that we would be
yes.
wonders to others
yes.
in the fact that as we pray, things really do happen. They really are realized. You are true. You do answer our prayers. So help Barbara, even at this moment, Lord, to
yes.
know that you're there, to feel your breath breathing on her, to feel your touch touching her, and to be awakened as a new, healthy, whole disciple for you. I just thank you for her faith. Who knows what all she believes as she lays there in her bed, Lord.
Yes.
Strengthen her and encourage her and quicken her mortal body, Lord, and give her a freshness, a newness, an expectation. Thank you, Lord. We just thank you for who you are. From the bottom of our hearts, we just pray that she would be healed and whole, that Tom would be healed and whole, and that their ministry would continue in great dimension. Thank you, Father. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Father. I ask also on a natural level that you'll increase her appetite. She's not eating a lot, so Lord, help her to give her a good appetite. Let her start eating again.
Yes.
In Jesus' name. Thank you again for your prayers and God bless you. Hallelujah.
God bless.
Amen. I'll see you.
Love you.
Hey.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
You want me to, I'm going to disconnect you, Tom, if I
can. Hey, it's my.
Let us hold fast to that and let us confess that. It's a new beginning for Tom and Barbara.
Right.
With every dimension of the Lord realized in their life.
Preface this by, you guys all come to hear Tom teach. You don't come to hear me. And so I don't want anybody to feel that they have to hang around. If you want to turn off and leave the message, go ahead, because it's...
just interrupt you. We could be a talkative bunch, Alan.
But,
you can't that.
Teach. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to share some from 2 Peter, which is what I've been teaching just here in the last week to the group here at Monroe. So this is 2 Peter chapter 1. We're going to start with that. All right, let's start. I'm going to read the first couple of verses here. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. verse 3, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And I want to read verse 3 and 4. We're going to concentrate on that. I want to read 3 and 4 from the Amplified Version. His divine power has bestowed on us absolutely everything necessary for a dynamic spiritual life and godliness through true and personal knowledge of him, Jesus, who called us by his own glory and excellence. For by these he has bestowed on us his precious and magnificent promises of inexpressible value, so that by them we may escape from the immoral freedom that is in the world system, because of their disreputable desires, and you become sharers of the divine nature. And then this from the Message. Everything that goes into a life of pleasing God has been miraculously given to us by getting to know personally and intimately the one Jesus who invited us to God. We were also given absolutely terrific promises to pass on to you, your tickets to participation in the life of God after you turned your back on a world corrupted by lust. So I want us to kind of think on these things. Peter starts it out by saying, grace and peace be multiplied to you. Well, grace includes all of God's benefits and blessings. And his peace, of course, passes all understanding. He's saying he wants that to be multiplied to us. How? Well, he says in verse 2, in the knowledge, personal knowledge, knowing, and our relationship with God the Father and with Jesus Christ our Lord. Because his divine power has given us the ability and privilege to personally and intimately know Jesus, who called us, chose us through his glory and virtue or excellence. He did it because he loves us and wants us to share in his life and his godliness. He called us, he invited us to come and believe and receive him as Savior. He gave us a measure of faith to believe, Romans 12:3. He gave us the Holy Spirit so that we can know Jesus, Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth. In John 16:13, Jesus said, Holy Spirit will take what is mine and declare it to you. That says, all the things the Father has for me, he's going to declare it to you so you can have them. And verse 4, our God and Savior Jesus Christ has given to us very great promises in order that through these promises we become a partaker or sharer of the divine nature and escape the corruption of the world's lust. In other words, we become like Jesus.
Amen.
So as we believe these promises that are given to us and for us and about us, we believe and receive them just like when we believed and received Jesus, or just like when we believed and received the Holy Spirit, we believe and receive these promises. So at one point, we believe John 3:16, we believe we got saved. Somewhere along the way, we believe 2 Corinthians 5:17, that we're a new creature in Christ Jesus. We believed Acts 1:8. Jesus said, wait, the power of Pentecost will come upon you. We had that experience. So now then, do we go on and also believe 2 Corinthians 5:21, which says, you know, that Christ died so that we become the righteousness of God in him. In other words, we are holy just like Jesus. Because Jesus is in us, we're in him. We are holy just like he is. We have the righteousness of God in us. How many Christians believe that? It took me a number of years to sort that out. You know, many years I spent trying to earn God's favor. I was saved, but I was still trying to earn God's favor by doing things for God. But then that verse became real. And then you relax and you realize, hey, he loves me just like I am. I'm already righteous, just like Jesus. That's all. That just let it happen. Or Romans 8:29, another verse we know, but it says, God predestined us to be conformed to the image of his son. He's made us to be like Jesus. Another verse you're familiar with, I'm sure, Galatians 2:20. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in and of the Son of God. Faith in the Son of God, but I mean, I also think that means I'm believing with the faith of God.
Yes.
And so I can live like Jesus in the flesh. Crazy. Romans 8:11 says that our flesh is quickened by the Holy Spirit, made alive. It can become all new. And then here's another one for you. 1 John 4:17 says, as he is, Jesus is, so are we in this world. How many of us believe that? That we're just like Jesus in this world. I mean, the church has spent centuries telling us, well, we can follow Jesus and obey the rules and do this and do that. But how often have you heard people say, well, you know, you are just like Jesus. You are just like Jesus. Or Ephesians 2:6, and I've talked with you guys before about this. We are seated in the heavenly places with him. We're in Christ, seated in the throne, in the heavenly tabernacle with Jesus. We're there now. Oh, what a promise. That's where we are. We're not citizens of this earth. Or Ephesians 1, verse 3 down to 14. We have all the spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. Do we really, really believe that we have all the spiritual blessings that are listed there? Or do we think, as we've been taught, unfortunately, throughout the church history, that's all future? Well, it's not all future, it's now. So let's move on, verses 5 through 7. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. Because if all these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the full knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the Amplified, and I modified this a little bit. This is Alan's modified version of these couple verses. For this very reason, because you are sharers of the divine nature of Jesus, apply all diligence to these divine promises, making every effort in exercising your faith to believe and receive them, so that Jesus' divine nature in you is shown forth by your moral excellence or virtue, by your knowledge, that is your insight and understanding of his nature, so that you display in your life self-control. Well, self-control in the scripture really means his control in us. Remember Colossians, he says, let peace reign in your hearts. Perseverance or endurance. Just like Jesus, he endured the cross for the joy which was set before him in the future. That's how we endure. It's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Godliness, God-pleasing behavior, brotherly love, love the brethren, like Jesus said, and of course, divine love. All this really represents Christ who is in us, and he wants to live himself out through us. Okay? He gave us the Holy Spirit, but think about it. Colossians 2:9, in Christ dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. It means the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are bodily in Jesus Christ. Well, if we're in him and he's in us, the Godhead's in us. That's what John talked about in John 15, but in John 17, Jesus talked about it. So, you know, we have the triune God living in us. And we have everything in us. We've got to believe it, receive it, and act it out like it's real. And so the more promises we believe, the more like Jesus we become. And then he says in verse 8, if all these things are yours and abound in you, you'll be neither barren nor unfruitful in the full knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. The more promises that you believe and receive about Christ in you, your relationship with him, the more fruitful you become, the more the Holy Spirit expresses that fruit that's already in you, and you become fruitful. So verse 9 says, for he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. So we have a choice. We can be led by the Holy Spirit, believe these promises, or we can turn away and be short-sighted. And the Greek word short-sighted is the one we use for myopia. Short-sightedness, nearsightedness. So you can get short-sighted by looking at only the world and what's going on around you. And then you do that and you begin to forget who you are in Christ and what his benefits and blessings are and the power that he gave you and who the Holy Spirit is that's in you. And you kind of forget, and then you start looking more and more at the world and begin to respond on to what's going on there. And the Greek word forget there is the same Greek word that we get the word lethargy from. You become lethargic about the scriptures and about the Lord. You kind of put it off. So then in verse 10, he says, therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, for so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So be diligent. Diligent what? Well, make your calling and election sure. What's your calling? Well, your calling and first calling was your invitation to receive Jesus. It's just like the parables of the supper. Went out and invited a bunch of people to come, and some had excuses of various kinds and said, we'll go out everywhere in the streets and bring whoever will come. And so we were called. We were called to come and receive Jesus. We were elected. That really means we were chosen. Chosen to believe. John 15:16. You did not choose me, I chose you. That's a good old Presbyterian statement. How those two come together is a little bit of a mystery to us. But if you look back and see how your life was going, on how suddenly God intervenes and you start to see some changes or he draws you, you know that, boy, that didn't happen spontaneously because of something I was looking for necessarily. In my life, it didn't. It came because of a terrible situation. and started looking for an answer. And he was the answer. But he chose us. He chose us. So he's saying here, make that position of your calling and election firm and established. How? By doing those things he's talked about up to this point in this chapter. If you do this, he said, you'll not stumble or fail. And you will be richly supplied with an entrance into the eternal kingdom of Jesus. Well, so what were most of us taught all these years? The kingdom of God is future. It's the millennial kingdom, new heaven, new earth, eternity. So live the best life you can now. Follow the rules of our group and see how you get by. But, you know, the kingdom of God is now. And we are in the kingdom of God because we're in Jesus. And we have all the benefits and blessings of the kingdom of God now. You remember a couple of scriptures from the word, Romans 14:17. The kingdom of God is not food or drink, in other words, external things of the world, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 4:20. The kingdom of God is not in speech or words, but in power. Holy Spirit power. Remember when Jesus came, John said the kingdom of God is at hand. Jesus is the kingdom of God. He's in us. The kingdom of God is in us. We're in him. The kingdom of God is now. That's why he spent all that time teaching on the kingdom of God, where he rules and reigns in our lives and produces fruit of the kingdom and the works of the kingdom. That's why in the prayer he said, let your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He wouldn't have told us to pray that if that was to be done after we die or sometime in the future. That's for now. Or Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you. Jesus is the kingdom of God. His righteousness is Jesus' character, his godliness. We're to seek that first, and then all the other stuff's going to be added. And, you know, Tom's preached a lot on the kingdom of God. So many of us just have never really, I think, realized that the kingdom of God is now. And we can demonstrate the kingdom of God as we allow the Holy Spirit and Jesus in us to live out through our life. Live our life in the flesh now by trusting in Jesus, doing the works that he's called me to do, relaxing, trusting in him. Christian life's pretty simple. The kids sing it in little grade school, trust and obey. Yeah. We try to make it more complicated. You got to do this, you got to do that. Oh, my. Okay, a couple more verses here. No. What do you think about that, the precious promises? There's so many promises in the Word of God.
Okay.
And many of them we brush off and say, well, that's got to be sometime in the future. Mm-hmm. How can that apply to me?
Right.
Yet they do. Any thoughts, Sherry? You have the divine nature in you.
Live like it.
Yes.
You know, Al, there in John 17, in the Lord's priestly prayer, mm-hmm. he's talking a lot about you in me, me in him,
yeah.
You in the word right. In. I got curious about, mm-hmm. and I looked it up, and it comes from a Greek word, enarkizo. Enorkizo. Huh. And if you find out what that means, it's oath, but it's oath of covenant. Hmm. And we are a part of him, inextricably a part of him, mm-hmm. when we come into that oath with him, yeah. our covenant, or accept Christ, we are in him and he is in us. Right. We don't have to go do something. That's just right. a state of being.
Right, yeah. right.
And, yeah. and we can trust in that, even though we can't trust in us, we can certainly trust in him because we're in him.
Right. It's like Paul said to Corinthians, or to Greeks there at Mars Hill, in him we live and move and have our being. It's all in Jesus.
You know, on a much simpler scale, I used to have a Sunday school teacher that would end each Sunday with, "You're a child of God. Now go and act like it." Mm-hmm.